Why not us? And that's the way we're going to look at it.
That's the ball game. Cubs win.
I think every year you got to win. And whether our payroll was lower or higher, you get the same message out of us.
Got the call. Cubs win.
In our division, I think we can surprise anybody and sneak up on some people.
Houston's better. Milwaukee's better. St. Louis is better. And not going to be easy, but we're going to approach this thing like we're here to win a division.
And they storm out of the dugout.
It's in our hands to give the city of Chicago exactly what they have desired for years.
Cubs win.
The Scores Baseball Show Hit and Run continues with Matt Spiegel and Barry Rosner. Hit and Run is brought to you by St. Charles Toyota and Champion Roofing. And here they are, Matt Spiegel and Barry Rosner.
Ah, yes, the Van Halen to get you up into that 80s Cubs lather, Barry Rosner.
Well, and if you're a 1984 kind of guy, you can't hear that without thinking about what a phenomenal summer that was. Hit and Run is brought to you by Champion Roofing.
We've done plenty of White Sox on the show and plenty of Cubs, too. Some national stuff. Just talked about the Tigers and the American League Central. Let's see what it's been like this spring so far and the feelings for the Cubs front office. General Manager Jim Hendry will join us right here, Mr.
Yeah, Rodner. We promised you Jim Hendry at the top of the hour, and now we have Jim Hendry, the General Manager of the Chicago Cubs. How you doing, Jimmy?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Hey, you've got to be happy about at least one thing, your health this spring. And it's the one thing you always talk about. I know you always say it to me. It's the one thing you really can't control. It's the one thing you go to sleep at night worrying about. Your health has been terrific, and you look around your division, and the Brewers are just an unmitigated disaster right now. I mean, their list of guys hurt is five or six, and they're all huge names. You got Johnny Cueto in Cincinnati, Adam Wainwright in St. Louis. At least you know, with everything else, you got to feel pretty good about your health in Cubs camp.
Yeah, I'm real happy about that and happy about a lot of things, really, not just the health. But let's hope we're not jinxing ourselves here. We've got 10 more days in camp on the health issues. But you're right. We've been on both sides of that. And it wasn't too many years ago when, you know, I think we lost two or three guys in a rotation in one camp and your closer. So it can be a devastating thing, and it's impossible to replace, you know, high-end starting pitching. If you have those kind of injuries in camp, you can have all the prospects you want in your system, or nobody's going to trade you a quality major league starter that's doing well in the middle of spring training. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. You hate to see these guys get hurt. It's the nature of the game, unfortunately, and let's hope we can stay on the good health side of it.
What are the things that have made you most happy this spring? And on the other side, what concerns do you still have with 10 days to go?
Yeah, you know, nobody likes to have a terrible record in spring training. I think if we, you know, the goal always been, you know, try to play reasonably in the vicinity of 500. You can't really worry about it.
Right.
I think, you know, we've given up a lot of runs the last couple days. Before that, we really lost probably over half the games we lost. We lost if a minor league kid came in and pitched and gave up five in one inning. You know, things like that. And we get, you know, so to be honest with you, the people that you care about for the most part have thrown well or played well. You know, it's hard to find fault with the way, you know, Dempster has thrown terrific. Zambrano's been really, really good. And Randy Wells, obviously, looks like he really, you know, spent the offseason, you know, trying to put last year behind him and preparing for this. And obviously he was challenged to come in here and pitch well, and that's what he's done. You know, Andrew Kashner's on a good progression scale. And, you know, I don't think I've seen Woody throw this good in a long time. So there are a lot of good things, and for the most part, our position players, you know, you can't get hung up in numbers. I remember when I worked for the original Marlins, Tony Perez, a great Hall of Famer with the Reds, who's still a terrific guy, and it was a great influence on the young Marlin franchise, telling us that I don't think he ever hit 200 in March or 200 in April, and obviously put up Hall of Fame numbers after that. So for the most part, our position players are also healthy, and the guys you're counting on are working hard and playing well. Blake DeWitt had a really rough spring. Besides that, most of the guys are playing pretty well, and of course we've had some surprises too on the good side. So, you know, hopefully the next 10 days we'll win a few more games, but it's not something that that we're looking at like it's a reflection of how we think we're going to play out of the gate.
Jim, you mentioned both Randy Wells and Andrew Kashner, and a lot of fans have enjoyed seeing some of their progress and what the results have been for them. And the Carlos Silva conversation always comes back around.
Yeah.
And I'll ask it to you the way that I've been thinking about it, the way that a lot of people have thought about it. Other than money and what the contract is, it's hard to come up with a reason why he should break camp with the team.
Well, you know, he hasn't pitched very well. He had one day which we played very poorly behind him. A few other days he's gotten hit awfully hard. It's that balance where, you know, he did the same thing last year early in camp, and then got it together late, and then, you know, obviously it's, you know, went 8-0 out of the gate. So, you know, you walk that fine line with a veteran guy that's done it before. Is he really scuffling? Can he get out of it before camp's over? And then which way do you go with it? As the month of March comes to a close, so it's still, you know, we're still going to give him a chance to go out there a couple more times, and see if he can, you know, can improve on what's happened. Two starts ago, we threw the ball actually pretty well, and then the last time it didn't go obviously as well. But you always walk that fine line. There's a lot of guys that have won a lot of games in the big leagues that have bad camps, and they all of a sudden they win the opener and vice versa. So it's that balance we always go through with spring training, especially with veteran guys.
You know, I know it's something you wouldn't want to do, but the Mets just did it with Luis Castillo. If you can't find a taker and it's bad enough, do you consider just cutting somebody and eating the money?
Get into that. You know, everybody knows me public. I never talk about the fate of our players, whether there were potential trades or anything like that. So that I'll stick to my norm that everybody knows. I appreciate the way you asked it, but it's not something I would broach upon. You know, we've had to release very few players over the years for lack of performance, and, you know, we'll just kind of play the rest of the spring out and try to break camp the best we can with the best 25.
Jim, you mentioned Blake DeWitt and the situation at second base. This is the question that always confuses me. Last year I completely understood coming back with the team that you had the couple years before that made complete sense, and I know there wasn't a lot of room for you to make some moves. But as I look at this team, I'm not sure whether you think you're trying to win the World Series or if you're trying to build for the future. I know you believe the two are not mutually exclusive. Do you still, after a month or 5 weeks of camp, do you still feel like both are a possibility at the same time?
I really believe we can be a contending club. I think we've got a really good division. I think baseball, go back the last 10 or 15 years, you see it all the time. I don't think anybody was writing down the Giants' name as a world champ. In fact, probably at the All-Star break, nobody was writing down the Giants' name. And the world has a history of the wild card teams winning the World Series. So I feel like if we stay healthy and we pitch like we're capable of, and, you know, our better players have to play well, which is everybody saying the same thing, and you stay in the race and you play a little add-on in July, and you got a chance. I don't think anybody in Chicago or any media people that I know would have picked the Reds last year to win the division. They won it handily, rightfully so, and they've got a darn good team again. So it's just the nature of the business. You touched on in your opening thing that health is such a huge issue for everyone, and the Brewers made some significant progress with their pitching, and if they're healthy, they'll be a factor, and, you know, it's a different ball game if you're not healthy. That's just the nature of it. But I do feel good about it, and like I said, when you go through camp, I do feel good that our position players are working hard. I think Mike Quadi's run a very good camp. And I think the last 10 days will be very, very important to see how we get out of the gate in April.
What's the biggest change between the way you've seen Quadi run this camp and what you got from Lou the last couple of years? I mean, I know you're not going to openly criticize
Lou,
but I wasn't a fan of his last year and a half here or 2 years here. I mean, he just seemed to go through the motions. But Quadi seems to be very much engaged with his players.
Everybody's different, Barry. I think you manage a team to your own personality. If you're going to be true to yourself, Lou had a terrific career, and Lou did a lot of good things here. So it wasn't like he went through the motions in camp. He different styles for everybody. I mean, Jimmy Gleeland runs a different kind of camp than maybe Bobby Cox did. You know, you're all looking for the same alternatives at the end, but everybody that's good has to coach or manage to their personality. Everybody has to do their. You have to write to yours, or host shows to the way you are. You
can't. As soon as I find one, I'll let you know.
Yeah, that's okay.
He's still working on it.
I've seen multiple
that's fair.
No, but Mike's what I best I can tell you is Mike's been very organized. He hasn't changed a bit. It's the same guy that ended last year. Mike Quadi's style is to go out and help coach the base runners today and go throw his round of BP. The title changed in the door, but he doesn't change anything at all about the way he acts on the field, except, you know, he has to be the boss and write the lineup card, and that's always that's the telltale of how you manage 25 players over time. But it's been very well run camp, very efficient. Guys are getting their work in 2-3 hours before the game every day, and hopefully that's going to pay off in April. You don't always see that in the middle of March.
We appreciate the time with Jim Hendry of the Chicago Cubs right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score, Matt Spiegel and Barry Rosner. So if we're trying to do both, if you're trying to both win and develop some kids, then you have situations where you got to decide on playing a young guy or a veteran and what the best thing is to do. Are those Mike Quadi's decisions unilaterally, or are you involved?
We see each other on a daily basis. I don't think you should ever line up for a season or the off season and think you shouldn't try to win. I never get that analogy by anyone that doesn't work in an organization. I don't find that to be a credible statement ever. I mean, you know, that if we didn't think we could win, we shouldn't be playing. And things just changed. We were a lock, you know, to win after the 2007-08 seasons. It didn't work out that way. People forget we're in first place August 7th of 2009, and then the Cardinals ran the table and made some huge moves at the deadline with Holiday and DeRosa, and they, you know, took off, and we just got out of the gate so poorly last year, we were never in it. But I did like the way we played the last 2 months. I think that can carry over to add a few people and get out of the gate and play well this year. So that, you know, it never crossed our mind that we shouldn't contend this year, or certainly not feel like we were going to.
Jimmy, I know that you don't make out the lineup card, but like you said, you discuss all these things as a group, and when you look at a young player like Starlin Castro, I wonder where ultimately he's going to hit. And, you know, it seems like Mike Quadi cracked the door open just slightly the other day that maybe he's a leadoff guy sometime in the future. He looks very good in the number two. I wonder if power-wise he's going to slot someday as a three.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this something that you specifically talked to Mike Quadi
about? No, we don't have to talk about that now. This kid is going to be an outstanding player. I don't think anybody has a doubt of that that's in the game. He's still 20 years old. I think he turns 21 right before opening day. And I can tell you he's a lot better hitter right now than he was a year ago. He's really swung the bat well down here. The power is starting to come. Sky's the limit for the kid, you know. So it's not a concern where he bats. I mean, the world's full of, over years, different kind of guys that hit two, different kind of, you know, your best hitter usually hits three. He could grow into that down the road. I agree with you. And the leadoff situation, you know, leadoff hitters are different than they used to be. You know, five or six clubs out of 30 have that prototype guy, the little scatty guy that gets on and slaps the ball around and makes things happen, you know. And then even the old days, you got guys that let off that hit 30 home runs like Bobby Bonds or Ricky Henderson. So there's no way to pigeonhole what this kid could become, and a lot of it will be depend on not only his growth but how the organization, you know, shapes up the next couple of years when you got some people coming that might be able to hit in different spots of the order too.
Offensively, it's been tremendous. Defensively, do you find yourself concerned with some of the mistakes, and are they things that you try to talk to him about technique-wise, or is it just reps? Does it just need reps?
Yeah, the technique part, that's Pat Listash and Mike's you know, that's their domain. I don't go down there in the middle infield and work with the shortstops.
That's probably good.
But this kid, no, he's a young kid. So the history of the game will show you that most young infielders that have the talent he has, especially the offensive talent too, they're going to make what I call careless errors. You know, he's going to make some errors on routine plays. He's going to throw a couple of easy outs away, throw one in the dirt that we don't pick, or throw one over Pena's head. That's going to happen. You know, what you try to do the first couple years is try to keep moving those in the backward fashion, go from 30 to 25 errors or 22. But that being said, the kid's talent and range allows him to get to a lot of balls that we turn into outs that we haven't had that in maybe decades, to be honest with you.
Last thing for you from me, Jim. Zambrano has been great by all accounts on the mound in camp so far, but there's one little thing that's worrying me. When Rudy Jaramillo a couple weeks ago had to tell him stop swinging so hard in BP, then the other day he had the left wrist taped and Mike Quadi gave him a break from hitting, that he DH'd for him in the game on Friday, and now here comes this home run derby thing on Monday night. And I know it's softball, but Zambrano, is he taking part? Is he going to swing as hard as he can on Monday night?
He's not hurt because he swung too hard.
Okay.
And I wouldn't be concerned about him. And look, there's going to be some days, let's be real honest, too. Before last year, there are going to be some days where his bat wins some games this year, too. So I think he's going to listen to Rudy, and I know he's listening to Mike full throttle. So let's just stay in the positive zone and let's hope the last 2 months of last season continues for the next 6 months ahead.
His approach and mindset been good to you
Absolutely.
So far?
Absolutely, outstanding, and throwing the ball really well.
Listen, before we let you go, Jim, a lot of optimism about the Cubs camp this spring, but lest you think that there isn't at least some panic, and I know you feel more comfortable knowing some people are panicking, the Tribune ran a poll today online wondering what you should do with Matt Garza. They want to know if you should keep him in the rotation, put him in the bullpen. Put him in the bullpen or try and trade him.
Yeah, get rid of him.
I just wanted you to know that Chicago
and Cub fans are. I think we can find a whole bunch of people that won 15, 18, 20 games in the past that didn't have perfect springs, and that whole poll would change if Matt went out in 4 days, 5 days from now and pitched great, and I fully expect him to be the guy that was standing on the rubber winning the pennant winning games a few years ago for the Rays, and also the guy that went to Texas last year when they were down 2-0 and pitched tremendously.
Yeah,
get him back, and I think he's going to be fine.
I just want you to feel comfortable.
That's
let
okay.
you know that
there's right.
some panic here because you know it's March, whatever.
Usually that comes from like the talk show guys, not the fan poll.
Well, you know, as we stir the pot, and speaking of stirring the pot, any interest in a Luis Castillo?
Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Oh God, thanks, Jim. Wouldn't even any. I really want to know any interest in a Luis Castillo.
He's not going to answer that.
Well, he should. I know, and you know what? They shouldn't. I believe Castillo is done.